بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our third session reading from منهج أهل السنة في العقيدة والعمل, the methodology of أهل السنة والجماعة concerning creed and actions by الإمام محمد بن صالح الثيمين. Before we read from the topic that we're going to do tonight, we want to quickly review some of the points that we covered last week from the questionnaire study guide number 2. The first question being, mention Ibn Athir's rahimahullah definition of sunnah and some of the other definitions of a sunnah. Yani the definition of Ibn Athir and some of the other definitions of sunnah. Somebody start with Naam Abdul Haq.
Say that sunnah includes the command, the amr.
Okay, it includes the command.
Prohibitions. The encouragement. Either in speech or action.
Speech or action.
From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Which are not included in the Quran. Okay, somebody help us a little bit with that definition. Before he mentioned that detail, he said what? Yani aslu sunnah. At-tariqa wa-sira. Yani aslu sunnah, he said first, the asl, the foundation, the fundamental meaning of sunnah, and its fundamental basic meaning is at-tariqa and as-sira. Yani the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His way. And his sira, his life. And then he said, yani when it is used, yani the word sunnah is used in the sharia, then it means any what the Prophet, whatever has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ in terms of commands or prohibitions or that which he encouraged the people to do of good, whether from speech or actions. Now, I mean, for this reason, it is said when you talk about the evidences any of the Sharia, we say what? Yani al kitab wa sunnah, meaning the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib. After this, other meanings. Any other meanings that we mentioned last week? Any other meanings? Now, Ibrahim. Now, that which is pointed to or indicated in the Sharia, that's not from those things that are obligatory, that are not yani fard and not wajib. Naam. That's the definition that's used by the scholars of fiqh, fuqaha. Okay, also it is said that which is opposed to or opposite of bid'ah. Yani bid'ah meaning that which has no foundation in the sharia, baseless, and sunnah would be that which is founded upon the Quran and sunnah. Naam, Ibrahim. Ibrahim Fulani.
In the mustalah of the ulama al-usul, they refer to sunnah as the aqidah.
Okay. The aqidah, naam, yani meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his way in terms of usuluddin, the matters of usuluddin, the aqidah, naam. Sunnah also is referred to or refers to the aqidah, the asl, the foundations of Islam, naam.
Along with the aqwal, af'al, and takhirat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
naam, yani the scholars of hadith said, in addition to the sayings and the actions and the approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also there's his yani sira and his sifat al-khalqi and khuluqiyya, yani his life and his characteristics, yani physical characteristics and moral characteristics, whether before the missioning or after it. That's the lengthy detailed definition of the scholars of hadith. These are some of the definitions of the word sunnah, the definition of the word sunnah, and what we mean here when we talk about منهج أهل السنة في العقيدة والعمل. يعني أهل السنة, we meaning the people who are upon the way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني his ibadah, his aqidah, his akhlaq, and so on. All of it. نعم. Second question, mention Sheikh Salih Fawzan حفظه الله's explanation of the difference between aqidah and منهج. Difference between aqidah and منهج. نعم. نعم, فضل.
Yeah, he said, حفظه الله, that's a منهج is broad, is wide.
منهج is broad, نعم. Broader than aqidah, نعم.
So, we can talk about منهج in the aqidah
So there's manhaj that's applicable to aqeedah, and there's also manhaj that's applicable to akhlaq, character, manners, suluk, behavior, and so on. Mu'amalat, dealing with the people, and so on. All of this, yani, every aspect of the life of a Muslim.
But aqeedah refers to the foundation of iman.
Foundation of iman. Naam, and?
Referring to the
Man al-shahadatain.
The
meaning of the two testimonies of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and their requirements and what they require. Also the Shaykh, he said in his definition of manhaj, he said, in the end of his definition, he said that yani manhaj is included or applicable to aqeedah, and it's also applicable to as-suluk and akhlaq and mu'amalat. And he said, yani in the whole of the life of a Muslim, everything that the Muslim is upon in terms of his methodology, his procedure and doing things, he said all of this is manhaj. All of this is manhaj. There's manhaj in everything that a person does. He said, "Kullu al-khifa," yani every plan, every yani procedure, every methodology that a Muslim follows in his life, tusamma al-manhaj. All of this tusamma al-manhaj. Here, the Shaykh yani is summarizing the issue. A lot of scholars explained it in different ways, but the point is, the Shaykh is saying that the Muslim in his life has a manhaj, a path, a road, a methodology that he is upon based on the yani Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in every aspect of life. Yani in his aqidah as well as in his ibadah, in his da'wah, in his manners, in his akhlaq, in his business, and everything, there is a manhaj for the Muslim. As opposed to the aqidah, yani Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah, is saying that it is more narrow. Yani it is in reference to the asl of the deen, the asl of iman. Yani iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meaning of the shahadatain and what they require. And this is a very yani important explanation that the Shaykh has given here in just a few words. Okay, question number three. Question number three, discuss the author, yani Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen, the author, rahimahullah's explanation of relationship between the linguistic and technical sharia definition of i'tiqad or aqidah. Yani the difference between the relationship between the linguistic and the technical yani sharia definition of i'tiqad. Naam, Waleed.
The linguistic
meaning is a rabd wa shad. Naam. The meaning of it is rabd wa shad, yani tying, binding, tightening, naam. Yani from al-aqt, yani ala wazn, yani?
Ifti'al,
ifti'al. Yani al-thulati al-mazid, ifti'al. Yani it's the mazda from, yani i'taqada, ya'taqidu, i'tiqad. Yani from al-aqt, meaning tying or binding or fastening something. This is the linguistic meaning. As far as the technical meaning? Yani certainty, yani a determination that the heart or the mind has made with certainty. Something that a person is sure about, certain about, have no doubt about it. Yani a certainty that you have reached, determination you have reached in your heart and your mind that you are sure about. Naam. Yani, did anybody remember the actual words the Shaykh used? He said, حُكْمُ الذِعْنِ الْجَازِمُ حُكْمُ الذِعْنِ الْجَازِمُ. Okay, what is the relation between the technical meaning and the linguistic meaning? Naam.
As far as it being tightening.
Tightening.
Or not. This is in relation to the belief of a person. Their belief is like that same tightening.
The belief is something that is like tightening in which way?
It's connected in their belief. Yani it has no shak in it. There's no doubt.
Has no doubt in it. Okay. What is it tightened to? What is it tied to? What is it bound to?
It's bound to the truth, whatever it's bound to.
To the truth. The truth is bound to what though? It's tied to what? His heart. His heart. Yani it is as though he has tied it, bind it, fastened it, his heart, to that belief. That determination that he has reached with certainty, he has tied his heart to it. Such that, لا تفلتوا منه. He can't escape from it. He's tied to it. Something that he has a certain determination, he has reached with certainty, and he has tied his heart to it. And he has tied his heart to it. يعني كأنه عقد وربط يعني قلبه إلى هذا الشيء الذي حكم عليه في ذهنه أو في قلبه. In any case, this is the definition Shaykh has given Yani in summary, in simple language, the Shaykh is saying that the linguistic meaning of i'tiqad is tying or binding or fastening something, tightening it. And how is it related to the technical meaning? Because it's what you have reached with certainty, what you believe in your heart, and your heart is tied to it, fastened to it, yani, so that yani, you're stuck with it. You don't let it go. You don't let anything shake it or separate you from it. This is the core of what the Shaykh is saying here. And yani, because of the technical nature of this discussion, and we have attempted to provide some notes that we sent to the class. Hopefully you can go back and look at it and review it and benefit it. Question number 4, mention 3 matters which show the great importance of aqeedah. 3 matters that show the great importance of aqeedah. First and foremost, Naam, Mustafa.
That Allah sent all the prophets.
Okay, that Allah sent every prophet, yeah, was sent to his nation calling the people to worship Allah alone, and 2, avoid the ta'gut. Naam. 1. Ibrahim.
That the
aqidah is the foundation of the deen. It's the foundation. Everything else is secondary. That shows its great importance. Naam. Number 3. Abdul Haq.
The Prophet ﷺ
spent the first 13 years of his missioning in Mecca and during the boycott calling the people to Tawheed. Yani, almost exclusively calling the people, establishing the Tawheed. Naam. A person's speech and action, inshallah, is based upon their real aqeedah, and not what they profess as aqeedah. Because some people profess, and then they don't act on what they profess. But the real aqeedah, naam, if a person really believes in something, inshallah, will dictate their behavior. Naam.
And the right of Allah upon his servant.
Naam. The hadith of Ibn Abbas, or the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And when the Prophet ﷺ asked him, do you know what is the right of Allah over his servants? Atadri, mahaqqullah ala al-ibad. And he said, Allah and his messenger knows best. The Prophet told him, what is the right of Allah? An ya'buduhu wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. Yani that the right of Allah with his servants is that they worship him, and that they do not associate anything with him in that worship that belongs to him exclusively. And these are some of the things that show us the importance of aqeedah, and the purpose of mentioning these things is for us to reflect upon this, the great importance of the topic that we embarked upon last week, the first point of those 7 points, yani related to the Asma wa Sifat. Naam. When he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, he told him, you're going to qawman min ahl al-kitab. So make the first thing that you call them to be, and you wahid Allah, to establish the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many other points that could be mentioned. These are some of the points that I think we mentioned last week. Question number 5, mention the instruction of the Prophet. Okay, here's the, and they already mentioned this, right? Instruction of the Prophet to Mu'adh ibn Jabal when he sent him to Yemen is what he just said, that the first thing that you call the people to be, yani, and you wahid Allah to establish the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mention the instruction of the Prophet. Naam. Okay, question number 6. Mention the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal concerning the right of Allah over his servants, and that is, yani, to worship Allah alone and not to associate anything with him. And by the way, what is the right of the people if they fulfill the right of Allah? That Allah will not punish them if they, yani, establish tawheed. Question number 7. Mention the first of 7 matters highlighted by the author from the Minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And in this book he mentions 7 affairs. The first of them is what? Naam. Tariqat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the Asma of Allah and His Sifat. The Tariqah, yani the Tariq, or the Minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning the names of Allah the Most High and His Sifat. And this is the first issue of the 7 issues that the Shaykh starts with. And does anybody know what's the second issue? What is the second issue that the Shaykh mentioned? Anybody know what's the second issue? Nobody went further in the book? We just stopped on one? Inshallah, very small book. We should have read the whole thing by now. Second issue is the Manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, or Tariqat Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Ibadah. And the third issue is the rights. The rights of the Rasul. Yani after Ibadah. The rights of Rasul, and after that, As-Sahaba, and then after that, Al-Immah, Wal-Awliya, and then after that, Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf, and finally Al-Iman. These are 7 issues of great importance that the Shaykh has mentioned in this very small essay. And inshallah, we're going to cover them bi-idhnillahi ta'ala in the coming weeks. Discuss the two causes. Allahu musta'an. Question number 8. Discuss the two causes of why those who committed tahrif. This is from what we read from the book last week. Those who committed distortion, tahrif, distortion of the text. Two reasons that the Shaykh mentioned why they did so. In brief, make it kind of brief, inshallah. Now, Surah Dhan. Surah Fahm or Surah Qasd. Al-Qasd. Surah Qasd or Surah. Yani that the reason why the people distorted the names of Allah for either one of two reasons. Either they had an evil intent. Surah Qasd, that intent was to what?
Divide
the Ummah. Tafriq al-Ummah, the Islamiyyah. And the other, he said, Surah Fahm. Yani that they had a bad understanding. They had a bad understanding. What was that understanding? That if they affirm the names of Allah and His Sifat, if they affirm them, they thought that that would be doing tamthil. They will be liking Allah to the creation, and this is prohibited. So because of their misunderstanding, their wrong understanding, then they refuse to affirm the names of Allah according to their apparent meaning, ظاهرها, and rather what they did was they gave their own distorted interpretations. Question number 9, explain what is meant by tawqifiyah as it relates to the asma and sifat of Allah, the names and characteristics of Allah. What is meant by tawqifiyah? Yani brief explanation of what the Shaykh said, Ya Ibrahim, Naam, Ibrahim Fulani.
Tawqifiyah, yani we stop at the place where Allah and His Messenger stop.
Stop at the place where Allah and His Messenger stop. Naam, anybody add?
Yes, I'm not likening Allah to...
Okay, not likening Allah, but tawqifiyah specifically means... Yani that, yes?
You can't name Allah with any name except that which he affirmed.
Don't name Allah with any name except what he affirmed for himself or the messenger affirmed for him.
And the messenger.
And likewise, characteristics. Don't describe Allah with any description that Allah hasn't described himself with or the messenger. Yani meaning that we only name Allah and describe Allah with that which he has named and described himself or his messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we stop there. Yani we stop there. Tawqifiyya al-wukuf ala ma ja'a bihi al-kitab wa sunnah. Al-wukuf. And that is because why? Because the aql has no place, no role to play in this matter. It is only by revelation that we know what names are befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what sifat are befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot know by aql because the mind doesn't have the ability to reach that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is really entitled to know, yani ما يستحقه الله سبحانه وتعالى. The mind can't determine that. The mind of the human being is not capable of knowing the right of Allah subhanahu wataala. Rather, it can only come from Allah subhanahu wataala Himself or His Messenger, whatever He has informed His Messenger of, to name Him with or to describe Him with. And to do so, to use the mind to do so, this would be a crime against Allah subhanahu wataala, violation of the rights of Allah subhanahu wataala. Last question: memorize the ayat from 7th surah, 33rd ayat, which points to the severity of speaking about Allah and His deen without knowledge. Memorize this ayat. Now, Umar.
A'udhu billahi minash-shaytan li-rajim. Innama harrama Allah.
Kul.
Kul innama harrama rabbi Allah al-fawahisha ma zahara minha wa ma batana.
Finish. طيب كل إنما حرم ربي
الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن
والإثم والبغي
وأن تقول
بغير حق
وأن تشرك بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقول على الله ما لا
تعلمون. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say that my Lord, my Rabb, has only made prohibited the what? First thing, al-fawahisha. Yani all kinds of filthy, evil, horrible sins. Yani what is open, done openly or inwardly. Wal-ithmi wal-baghi bi-ghayri al-haq. And also sin against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and transgressing the rights of the people without any right to do so. Transgressing the rights of the people, violating the rights of the people without any right to do so. And finally he said, an tushriku billahi ma lam yunazzil bihi sultana, that you associate, make something as an equal or a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for which you have no authority, no evidence, no proof for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to say about Allah, yani that which you do not know. This is the end, this is where we stopped last week, and this is where we want to start this week. We're going to go back to that ayat and the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned after that. Just a little bit discussion concerning its tafsir, and then we're going to read from what follows after this. In the English, we're going to be reading from page 14, the middle of the page. And in Arabic, I'm reading from page 3, from the middle of the page 3, yani until maybe 4 or 5. Page 14 in English, middle of the page, and page 3 in Arabic, middle of the page. But before we read that, I want to just look at the tafsir of these two ayahs that the Shaykh mentioned at the end. Yani when he talked about not yani speaking about Allah without, yani not naming Allah with any name that he hasn't named himself with, or describing him with any description he hasn't described himself with. And then he mentioned, yani as a proof for this, that this is something you shouldn't do, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 33rd Ayat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَكُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Now, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayat, he mentions the definition of fawahisha, that is the horrible, terrible sins that are filthy and evil. And this includes sins like az-zina, yani illegal sexual relations, and liwat, yani homosexuality, and what is similar to them. Horrible, abominable sins. He said, what? مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ, yani the summary of what he said, مَا ظَهَرَ, yani that which is seen outwardly by the actions of the body, مَا بَطَنَ, yani the actions of the heart, like pride and arrogance and so on, like this, hypocrisy and ostentation, doing things to be seen. He said that this includes the sins that a person will be punished with, yani concerning the rights of Allah as well as the rights of the people, yani violating their blood, their wealth, or their honor. Then he said, وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا, yani I'm summarizing it for the sake of time. He said, yani sultan means hujjah, you don't have any proof what you're saying. Rather, Allah has revealed proofs for tawheed and against shirk. And then he said that shirk could be yani in the worship of something other than Allah along with him, or maybe even minor shirk, like showing off or swearing by other than Allah. And finally the Shaykh said, and this is what I want to focus on, he said, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, his tafsir said, وَأَن تَقُولُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, to say about Allah that which you do not know. He says, say about Allah concerning what? Yani to speak about Allah's asma, his names, without knowledge. To speak about Allah's sifat, his characteristics, qualities or descriptions, without knowledge. To speak about Allah's af'al, his actions, to say Allah does this or doesn't do that, without knowledge. And to speak about Allah's law, his divine law. Yani, fi asma'ihi wa sifatihi wa af'alihi wa shar'ihi. فَكُلُّ هَذِهِ قَدْ حَرَّمَهَا اللَّهُ وَنَهَا عِبَادْ عَنْ تَعَاتِيَا. All of these things Allah has prohibited his servants from engaging in, and he's speaking about him, about his names, his characteristics, his qualities, his actions, or about what he has legislated, the laws that he has made, speaking about that without knowledge, saying this haram, this not haram, whatever, without knowledge. This is obligatory, this is not, and so on, without knowledge. And the reason, the Shaykh said, why Allah has prohibited a person to speak about Allah without knowledge, about himself, about his characteristics, qualities, about his law, لِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَفَاسِدِ الْخَاسِ وَالْعَامَ, due to what it contains, this speaking about Allah without knowledge, due to what it contains, yani the corruption, the evil, the harms that are, yani khas and am, yani that affect the individual as well as the generality of the society. Harms that come to the individual as well as harms that come to the whole of the society. وَلِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَالتَّجَرِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ, and also what it contains of wrongdoing and committing a crime or an outrage against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you speak about Allah without knowledge, on one side, وَلِاسْتِفَالَةِ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِلَّهِ, and on the other side, yani that you're putting yourself up above the other people as though you have some right to speak out something and other people do not, yani putting yourself up above the rest of the people. And finally he says, and from the great harms of speaking about Allah without knowledge, تَغْيِيرِ دِينِ اللَّهِ وَشَرِهِ, yani that this caused the people to change the deen of Allah and the law of Allah. Speaking about Allah without knowledge, this caused change in the deen of Allah and change in the law of Allah. These are some of the evils that come from speaking about Allah without knowledge. After this, the Shaykh also mentioned a second ayat, yani from Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 36th ayat. We mentioned it last week. Just briefly, tafsir concerning this ayat, وَلَا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا, يعني لا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, يعني don't follow, لا تَتَّبِعُ, don't follow, don't speak about, don't act upon, don't make assumptions or statements concerning that which you have no knowledge of. Speaking, acting, making judgments, rulings without knowledge. Indeed, in the sama' wal basar wal fu'ada, yani the hearing and the seeing, the sight and the heart, yani what is happening in the heart, the inner internal affairs of the human being. كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤول. All of these things you will be questioned about by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, yani this ayah, definitely the tafsir of it helps us to understand what is meant here. لا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد. The second part of the ayah, إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد. كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. First, the Shaykh he says, لا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. لا تتبع ما ليس لك به علم. Don't follow. Yani don't talk about and act upon that of which you have no knowledge. Rather, confirm. تثبت. في كل ما تقوله وتفعله. Everything that you say and everything that you do, be sure about what you're saying. Be sure about what you are doing. Yani don't speak, don't act without knowledge. Don't imagine. فلا تظن ذلك يذهب. Don't think that what you said and what you did is just going to go away. لا لك ولا عليك. That is not going to be for you or against you. It's just going to disappear. Indeed, السمع والبصر والفؤاد, rather everything, the hearing and the sight and the heart, all of these things, you will be concerning all of these, you will be questioned. Therefore, the Shaykh says, and this is like the core of, yani the point of this ayat that is so critical, فَحَقِيقٌ بِالْعَبْدِ. It is befitting of the abd, الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ أَنَّهُ مَسْؤُولٌ عَمَّا قَالَهُ وَفَعَلَهُ وَعَمَّا اسْتَعْمَلَ بِهِ جَوَارِحُ التي خلقها الله لعبادته أن يعد للسؤال جوابا. يعني it is befitting of the Abd who knows that he's going to be questioned about what he said and what he did. It is befitting. It is only right that if you know you're going to be questioned about what you said, and you're going to be questioned about what you did, and you're going to be questioned about these limbs of your body, how you use them, the limbs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created exclusively for the worship of Him. If you know you're going to be questioned about this, it is befitting of the Abd who knows this, and yu'idda lissu'al jawaban, that you prepare an answer for this questioning. That you prepare an answer for this question. You know you're going to be questioned, then prepare an answer for the question. وَذَلِكَ لَا يَكُونَ إِلَّا بِاسْتِعْمَالِهَا بِعُبُودِيَّةِ اللَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصِ الدِّينِ لَهُ وَكَفِّهَا عَمَّا يَقْرَهُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And this preparing the answer for this questioning of what you said and what you did and how you used the limbs of your body that Allah created to be used for the worship of Him alone. And whatever ni'am that He gave you, whatever He blessed you with, of wealth or whatever Allah has given you, if you know that you're going to be questioned about this, then you should prepare an answer for the questioning, and that preparation will not be by anything except using whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, of hearing, of sight, of speech, of wealth, or whatever Allah has given you, using it only for the worship of Allah, and making the deen purely for Him alone, and abstaining from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes or hates. And the only way to prepare is to know that you will be questioned with everything that you said and that you did, and that the way to prepare for it is to use whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in the way that He is pleased with, yani for His worship alone, and to avoid that which is displeasing to Him. So this is a warning, yani to us, yani from speaking about Allah without knowledge, and from doing anything that we do in this world without knowledge, without knowing that this is something that Allah has legislated, or that this is something that Allah is pleased with. After this, I want to read a little bit of what the Shaykh says after what we mentioned last week concerning tawqifiyah. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ, yani in Arabic again, this is from page 3, from the middle of the page, and in English it's from page 14, the middle of the page. The Shaykh says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ طَرِيقَتُهُمْ فِي أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَنَّمَا سَمَّى بِهِ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ فَإِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْأَسْمَاءِ الْمُتَعَدِّيَةِ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ مِنْ شَرْطِ تَحْقِيقِ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ ما يلي. Yani that from the way of the Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, from their tariqah, their manhaj concerning the names of Allah, the Most High. Here the Shaykh is talking about the names of Allah exclusively. He's not talking about the sifat of Allah. And also, he, as he goes through the sentence, it becomes clear that he's dividing the names of Allah into two divisions. Those which are mutaaddiya and those which are lazim. Mutaaddiya and lazima. Yani mutaaddiya, the transitive ones, mean that those names which indicate sifat that are not limited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, rather, but extend to and affect the creation. Yani lazima, it is with Allah alone, it doesn't affect the creation. So here the Shaykh, he says that the way, the tariqah of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, in reference to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself with, if it is from those names, من الأسماء المتعدية, the transitive names, meaning those names which contain a sifa that is not limited to Allah, rather extends beyond Allah and affects the creation. If they are from this type of name, as opposed to the other type that doesn't affect the creation, then the way of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, أنهم يرون من شرط تحقيق الإيمان به ما يلي. They consider that from the condition of achieving or realizing iman in those names which are mutaaddiya, transitive, which go beyond Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and affect His creation, three things. Yani from the conditions for realizing iman in those names is number one, أن يؤمن المرء بذلك الاسم اسما له عز وجل. Yani that the person must believe in that particular name, that it is the name of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. Yani a person must believe that any name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself with, they must believe that this is one of the names of Allah, and they have to affirm it as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't deny it, affirm it. Second thing, and يؤمن بما دل عليه من الصفة سواء كانت الدلالة تضمنا أو التزاما. Second point, in order to realize iman in the names of Allah that are mutaaddiya, you have to affirm it as the name of Allah, and you also have to believe in whatever characteristic, sifa, that name points to, contains within it, directly or otherwise. And the Shaykh is saying, no matter if it's indication, if it points to a sifa, tadammunan or iltizaman. Tadammunan, meaning that the name directly points to this particular characteristic. Yani it's clear that it's included in that name. As opposed to iltizaman, meaning that the name and the sifa that comes from it, its meaning, also requires by necessity that you also have other characteristics. Yani maybe that name doesn't specifically point to that sifa or those sifat, but those sifat are necessary characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we affirm that name and what it points to. Yani the characteristics that it points to. It also may necessitate other characteristics. So here the Shaykh is talking about two things. He's talking about, you have to also affirm the sifa, the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that name directly points to. And then he's saying, and not only that, but even other sifat that it might not directly point to, but are necessitated if we believe in the meaning of what that name indicates. So that's two things. He referred to it as tadammunan and iltizaman. And these are expressions that the scholars of the people of Sunnah have explained somewhat differently in different places. They have explained them somewhat differently. The way Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen explained them, yani, in light of what he said here, is that tadammunan is that which, yani, the name itself clearly points to. And iltizaman, that which the name necessitates, requires that you also have to believe that these are sifat of Allah to go with it. And then he gives the example which makes it crystal clear what he means by this. Third point. He said what? The first thing, you have to affirm that this is a name from the names of Allah. Second point, you have to affirm that this is a sifa, a characteristic, yani that the name points to, that is from the sifat, characteristics of Allah, whether it points to it directly or by necessity. The third point, and يؤمن بأثر ذلك الاسم, yani that you also must believe in the athar, the effect that name, yani its meaning points to it having some effect, yani on the creation, yani it extends beyond Allah and affects the creation in some way. أثر بأثر ذلك الاسم الذي كان مما دل عليه الاسم من الصفة, yani that athar which is from, yani which is from that which the name points to, in that it points to a sifa, and that sifa has an effect if it's mutaaddiya. Yani if it's from the asma' al-mutaaddiya, then it has, yani within it, it points directly to a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that characteristic within it, we understand that there's some effect from that characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the beyond Himself, yani on the creation. So these are three things, yani you have to believe in what that sifa, yani what is the, yani what will happen as a result of believing in that sifa, then there will be some effect on the creation. We also have to believe in that. That's the third thing. Now the Shaykh, he says here we will give an example, yani to explain what we mean by affirming the name as the name of Allah, affirming the sifa, the characteristic that that name directly points to or indirectly points to, and affirming the effect of that characteristic that's derived from that name, how it affects the creation in some way or another. The Shaykh says, from the names of Allah the Most High is As-Sami', the All-Hearing. So it is obligatory, based upon the tariq of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is obligatory, based on the tariq of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And يُثْبِتَ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ مِنْ أَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ, that it is obligatory to affirm this name as Sami'a for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the names of Allah. We can't deny it. We have to affirm it. فَيُضَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, so Allah is called upon by that name. And it's not in the Arabic text of this book, but it's in other texts, yani he was missing. وَيُعَبَدُ بِهِ, and Allah, yani is called upon by that name, and he is also worshipped by that name. Yani يُضَعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَيُعَبَدُ بِهِ. And that expression, وَيُعَبَدُ بِهِ, is found in some of the other yani texts of this essay. So if you affirm that the name, that this name as Samir, for example, is one of the names of Allah, then you call upon Him by it, and you worship Him by it. فَيُقَالُ مَثَلًا, so you say, for example, عَبْدُ السَّمِيعِ, yani a person is named as what? A worshipper of As-Sami', Allah who is the All-Hearing. Yani, so you name yourself by these names as a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُقَالُ يَا سَمِيعُ يَا عَلِيمُ, and you also supplicate to Allah calling on Him by these names. You call on Allah by His names, Ya Sami', Ya Alim, Ya Hakim, and so on, whatever. This is the first thing. And whatever is similar to this, the Shaykh says, and the reason why when you affirm this as the name of Allah, that you have to worship Allah by it, and you have to call on Allah by it, and that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 180th Ayat, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدَعُوهُ بِهَا, yani to Allah belongs the most beautiful names. So call on Him by them, by those names, and not by other names, only by those names. And this shows the excellence of those names, that Allah only allows that He be called upon by those names, Al-Asma' al-Husna. Lillahi, they belong to Him alone. Lillahi al-Asma' al-Husna. So call on Him by them and by them alone. What are these names? That requires some discussion. But we don't have time tonight. Inshallah, perhaps we can go back to it and look at some of the meaning of what is intended by these Asma' al-Husna. What do we mean by that? How can something be classified? What are the conditions for it to be considered as from the Asma' al-Husna? In any case, because Allah has said, to Him belongs the best names, therefore, call on Him by them. Therefore, if we affirm it as the name of Allah, we must call on Allah by that name. We must worship Allah by that name. Naam. وَكَذَلِكَ, yani the second point, affirm the name. وَكَذَلِكَ أَيْضًا يُثْبِتْ مَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ هَذَا الْإِسْمِ مِنَ السِّفَةِ وَهِيَ السَّمْعِ فَنُثْبِتُ لِلَّهِ سَمْعًا عَامًا شَامِلًا لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ أَيُّ سَوْتٍ وَإِنْ ضَعُفَى. Yani secondly, from the example of Al-Hayy, we also affirm what the name Al-Hayyu yani points to or indicates, yani the characteristic that it points to, and that characteristic is As-Sam'u, yani hearing. Yani we must also affirm that Allah is described with having hearing, yani perfect hearing. So we affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hearing that is am and shamil. Yani am and shamil, yani hearing that is general and it is all inclusive. Allah hears everything, la yakhfa alayhi ayy sawt. There is no voice or any sound that is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it is a weak sound, yani even if it is a low sound or a whisper. Nothing is hidden from the hearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, now.
I'm sorry, just to record it. I think you mentioned, hey, just to record it. I think you mentioned
As-Samia. Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah khair. Barakallah feekum. I shouldn't be rushing, but time is upon us. Naam. Yani, the example that the Shaykh gave, As-Samia, the one who has perfect hearing, and therefore we affirm it as a name for Allah, and we also affirm the characteristic of As-Sam'u, yani, hearing for Allah, hearing that is, yani, all-inclusive, that He hears everything. There's no sound that is hitting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how weak or low it may be. And thirdly, from this example, As-Sami' كما يثبت أيضا أثر هذا الصفة وهي أن الله تبارك وتعالى يسمع كل شيء. And the أثر that is يعني concluded, the effect that we find from this name of Allah and the characteristic of hearing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. يعني how does it affect the creation? That everything that يعني we say, even if we whisper it, even if in secret, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. So these are three things, yani affirming it as a name, affirming it as a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sifa, and also affirming the effect. The effect is that that Allah hears everything. Nothing is hidden from them. Nothing is hidden from them. In this way, yani we benefit with a great benefit from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, yani what the Shaykh says after this is not translated in the English translation. It's just omitted. A number of points the Shaykh makes, it's not in the English translation. After this statement, yani in this, by this way of affirming these three things, we realize yani iman in the names of Allah, yani by affirming it as a name, affirming the characteristic, the quality that is derived from it, and also affirming its effect on the creation, we get a great benefit from the names of Allah. Then the Shaykh said, and it's not in the English translation, لِأَنَّهُ يَلْزَمُ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ الثَّلَاثَةَ الَّتِي أَثْبَتْنَاهَا فِي الْإِسْمِ إِذَا كَانَ مُتَعَدِّيًا أَن نَتَعَبَّدُ اللَّهَ بِهَا فَنُحَقِّقُ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا Surah Al-A'raf 7180. So the Shaykh said, how do we benefit? Because these three affairs that we have affirmed from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitate, if they are asma mutaaddiya, yani names that are transitive, it necessitates that we worship Allah by these names. And therefore we also actualize the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that to Allah belongs the most beautiful names, so call on Him by them. The Shaykh then says, it's not in the English translation, فَأَنْتَ إِذَا أَمَنْتَ بِاللَّهِ يَسْمَعَ So if you believe that Allah does hear, and the next sentence is not in the Arabic text either, in the one that we have, but it's in another text, so you can write it in, فَأَنْتَ إِذَا أَمَنْتَ بِاللَّهِ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْمَعُ فَإِنَّكَ لَنْ تَسْمَعْ أَوْ لَنْ تُسْمِعْ رَبَّكَ مَا يُغْضِبُهُ عَلَيْكَ لَنْ تُسْمِعُهُ إِلَّا مَا يَكُونُ بِهِ رَاضِيًا عَنْكَ Yani if you believe that Allah hears, then you will never cause Allah to hear from you that which will anger Him. You will never cause Allah to hear from you except that which will be cause Him to be pleased with you. And then the Shaykh says, it's not in the English translation, فَإِنَّكَ تُؤْمِنْ أَنَّكَ مَهْمَا قُلْتَ مِنْ قَوْلٍ سَوَاءً كَانَ سِرًّا أَوْ عَلَنًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَسْمَعُهُ Because you believe, the reason why you will not say anything that angers Allah, you only say that which will cause Allah to be pleased with you, because you believe that no matter whatever you say, whether you said it secretly or openly, you believe that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He hears it. And you believe that He will call you to account about it. Yani وَسَوْفَ يُنَبِّئُكَ بِمَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ Yani that He will inform you of that which you were saying on يوم القيامة. He will inform you of what you used to say. وَسَوْفَ يُحَاسِبُكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عَلَى حَسْبِ مَا تَقْتَدِيهِ حِكْمَتُهُ And He will also call you to account in accordance with what His wisdom necessitates that He call you to account for it with. Naam, so the point here, yani the Shaykh, he's saying that we benefit from this way, minhaj, or the tariqah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in reference to the names of Allah, by affirming them, yani if they are muta'addiyan, names that yani go beyond, transcend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself and affect the creation, so we must affirm them as names, affirm the characteristic or quality that they point to directly, and we must also yani affirm the effect of that name or that quality, yani, that is pointed to by the name. He said, because if you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in this name, As-Sami', if you believe that Allah hears, you will never cause Allah to hear you saying something that will be displeasing to Him. Rather, you will only be saying that which is pleasing to Allah. And this is something that every one of us can stop on and think about in our own lives. And sometimes we say things and we are not considering, we are not conscious, we are not thinking about the fact that Allah is hearing what we are saying, whether it's public or private. Allah is hearing. And Allah will call it to our attention. He will call to our attention on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and He will call us to account for what we have said. So this is something that we have to be thinking about. We believe that Allah is As-Sami', then we have to believe that Allah hears everything that we say. In the same way we believe Allah is Al-Alim, and He knows everything that we do, or even what we are thinking. So this is very important, how it should affect our life. If we really believe this, then the Shaykh is saying, then we would not say anything, we would not cause Allah to hear from us that which would be displeasing to Him, that which would anger Him. But yet sometimes we say things. I heard recently a very strange saying that a brother said. I don't want to give the whole context of it because it's a little bit kind of sensitive, but a brother said to another Muslim that I'm about to do something and I don't care really what's the consequences. He said, this is how it was reported to me by a person that I trust very much, he said that if you see me in the hellfire, make dua for me. Yani, I'm about to do something that I know is going to be the hellfire, kill a Muslim. If you see me in the hellfire, make dua for me. Yani, how does a person say that, knowing that Allah is hearing all that we say? How does a person say that? This is real life. The point I'm saying is that we have to be careful what we say. We have to be careful what we say. Allah will bring it to our attention, and He will call us to account for what we have said. Person has to be careful what you're saying. That's a dangerous statement. That I'm going on with this. I'm going to do this. And I know that it means I will be in the hellfire. So just make dua for me when you see me in the hellfire. Wallahi, that's like ajeeb. It's hard to imagine that a Muslim could say that. But the truth of the matter is that we do say things that are atrocious, that are abominable, that are horrible. We do. And everything that we have said, even if we have forgotten that we said it, it's all recorded and Allah is going to bring it to our attention. Be careful. We have to be careful what we are saying, how we are using this tongue, what we are saying out of our mouth. Rather, we have to be careful what we are thinking, because Allah knows our thoughts. I know the time is upon us, but I think that this point is critical, that we reflect on it for a minute. That we have to look at ourselves and we have to realize that Allah hears everything that is said. And that's just hearing. But what about everything else? And we will be called to account for it. The Shaykh says, and then here the English translation comes back again after this statement. The Shaykh says, إِذَنْ الْقَاعِدَ عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. So the qa'ida, the principle with the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah is that the name from the names of Allah, if it is mutaaddiyan, yani a name, its characteristic or quality is not limited to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but affects the creation. If it is that type of name, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُمْكُنْ تَحْقِيقَ الْإِمَانِ بِهِ إِلَّا بِالْإِمَانِ بِهَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ الثَّلَاثَةِ. Then it is not possible to actualize, to realize, to implement, to have real iman in this type of name except that we believe in these three matters. Al-Iman bihadhi al-Umur al-Thalatha. That is, that we believe that it is a name from the names of Allah, and we affirm it as one of the names of Allah. And we believe in what it indicates, yani the characteristic or quality, the sifa or description that is pointed to by that name, and we believe in what, yani, is the result or consequence of that particular quality, what effect it will have in the creation. That we have to believe in these three things. And in this way, we will realize, achieve iman in the names of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala al-muta'addiya, the names that are muta'addiya. Then the Shaykh says, wa amma idha kana al-ism laziman. But the other type of names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those names which are laziman. Laziman, meaning that it is restricted, confined to the doer of the action, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. Yani the meaning, the sifa that comes from that name is restricted to Allah, it doesn't affect the creation. If it is from this type, second type, فَإِنَّهُمْ يثبتون هذا الاسم من أسماء الله ويسمون الله به ويدعون الله به. يعني that they confirm this as one of the names of Allah and they name Allah with it. They call Allah by this name and they supplicate to Allah by this name. And we can add, as the Shaykh said before, worship Allah by this name. يعني if it's a name from the لازمين, يعني not متعدياً. Secondly, and they also confirm ما دل عليه الاسم من صفة. They also confirm the sifa, the characteristic quality that comes from this name. And this is also not in the translation, but it's in the Arabic. They confirm the sifa على الوج الأكمل اللائق بالله تعالى. Very important, the Shaykh said, that you confirm this characteristic in the most complete or perfect and appropriate way that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that you not only confirm the characteristic, but you confirm it in a way that you recognize its meaning in a way that is perfect and befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't just understand this sifa in any kind of way, but in a way that is لائق بالله, suitable, befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الوجه الأكمل, in the most perfect way that this sifa can be understood. Then the Shaykh says, and it's not in the English translation, ولكن هنا لا يكون أثر. But in this case of the أسماء اللازمة, there's no أثر that we affirm for the name, and that is because لأن هذا الاسم مشتق من شيء لا يتعدي موصوفه. Because this يعني name is derived or is extracted from something يعني that doesn't go beyond موصوفه, يعني doesn't go beyond the one that is described with it. يعني this is a name and a characteristic that comes from that name that doesn't go beyond the one who's described with it. It doesn't affect anything or anyone else. فلذلك لا يكون أثر. So therefore it doesn't have any effect on يعني other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the action is limited to him. And then the Shaykh gives an example of this, and this is what we're going to close with. The Shaykh gives an example. وَنَدْرُبُ مَثَلًا هِيَ يَا إِبْرَهِيمُ الْحَيِّ. That's where I got a حَيِّ come from. I'm getting ahead of myself, right? A couple of pages ahead, no problem. فَنَدْرُبُ مَثَلًا, here the Shaykh gives an example of another name of Allah, الْحَيُّ, the one who has perfect life. الْحَيُّ, the one who is ever living, whose life is perfect. فإن الحي من أسماء الله عز وجل ونثبته اسما لله. So this is an example of a name from the names of Allah that are lazim, that are not متعدين. And in this case he said what? That there are two things we have to do: affirm it as the name of Allah and affirm the characteristic, the sifa that is derived from it. Here the Shaykh says what? The name Al-Hay, we affirm it as the name of Allah. So we say from the names of Allah the Most High is Al-Hay. وَنَدْعُوا اللَّهَ بِهِ, and we supplicate to Allah by the name Al-Hay. For example, we say يَا حَيْ يَا قَيُّوم, يعني O Allah, the one who is Al-Hay, Al-Qayyum. وَنُؤْمِن بِمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ صِفَةٍ, and secondly, we not only affirm it as the name for Allah, but we also affirm for that name Al-Hay the sifa, the characteristic that comes from it. And here again, يعني the English translation doesn't mention what came after this. The rest of it is just omitted to the end of this topic here. The Shaykh said, so we also affirm the sifa that comes from this name. سَوَاً كَانَ ذَلِكَ تَضَمُّنًا أَوْ إِلْتِزَامًا. No matter if that sifa is that which is indicated by the principle of تَضَمُّن, يعني meaning that characteristic is directly implied by the name. Directly implied by the name. Or even if the sifa is indicated by way of iltizaman, meaning that it's not directly implied by the name, but the meaning of that name requires that Allah also must have other characteristics that go along with that particular characteristic and that particular name, iltizaman. So for example, the Shaykh said for the name Al-Hay, yani from the sifa that is directly yani indicated by this name is Al-Hayat Al-Kamila. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Hay, يعني that he is described with having perfect life. Perfect life. Not defective life. Perfect life. This is what is indicated to tadammunan. يعني directly implied by the name Al-Hay. Al-Hayat Al-Kamila. But by iltizaman, what is necessitated are the sifat that are necessitated by this name Al-Hay. And this characteristic of having perfect life, you cannot have perfect life unless you also have other characteristics of perfection. كل ما يكون من صفات الكمال في الحي. يعني what are the characteristics of perfection that a living being, any living being that has يعني a full life, Yani must have some things. Yani if a person is, if a human being or an animal or any creature is living, it's a living being, but it doesn't see, it's blind, or it doesn't hear, it can't hear, or it doesn't have the ability to do anything, it's incapable of doing. Then this life, you say it's living, but it's not perfect life. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَلِلَّهِ مَثَلَ الْعَالَى. Yani what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then if He has life, and His life is perfect life, then He must have also other sifat of perfection that are required for any living being that who, that the life is not defective in it. So from those characteristics, Shaykh said, Al-ilm, wal-qudra, wal-sam' wal-basr, wal-kalam, wa-ghayru dhalika. So also we understand then that there are other sifat that we must affirm for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of iltizam, yani of necessity. If we affirm that Allah is perfect life, then He must have knowledge, He must hear, He must see, He must speak, He must know, He must have knowledge, He must have ability. Yani these also are sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are yani indicated by way of necessity, yani if He has perfect life. So we affirm for Allah the name Al-Hayy, and we affirm for Allah the characteristic of having perfect life, and we also affirm for Allah by way of iltizam, yani by way of necessity, that His perfect life requires that He has knowledge, that He has ability, power, that He has hearing, that He has sight, that He has speech, and other than that. And then we close by saying, وَعَلَى هَذَا نَقُولُ. And based upon this we say, if a name from the names of Allah is غَيْرَ مُتَعَدٍ, yani lazim, from the second type, غَيْرَ مُتَعَدٍ, it's not yani transitive, it's intransitive. فَإِنَّ تَحْقِيقَ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ يَكُونُ بِأَمْرَيْنِ. So then the realization of Iman in that name only requires two things. The first of them is affirming it as a name from the names of Allah the Most High. Yani naming Allah with that name, supplicating to Allah with that name, calling on Allah by that name, and so on. Yani affirming it as a name from the names of Allah, and secondly affirming what it indicates, the sifa, the characteristic that it indicates, ala waj al kamal al laik billahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yani that we also affirm yani the characteristic or quality or description that is directly indicated by that name, in this case the name al hayy. Yani what is directly indicated is the characteristic of al hayat al kamila, and then as the Shaykh also added to this yani other characteristics that are indicated by necessity. Okay, this discussion that we had today is primarily dealing with what? The names of Allah, not the sifat of Allah. And he's dealing with the names, the rules related to the names of Allah. That the names contain sifat. We'll talk about sifat separately, but the names are names of Allah and they're also characteristics. And some of the scholars like Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he taught us in the second year, and he, for 1 year, Asma wa Sifat, from the principles he said that the names of Allah are both Asma and Awsaf. The names of Allah, all of them, are not just names that He's called by, but they're also awsaf, yani characteristics or qualities that those names point to. And that's from the principles related to what is required to believe in the names of Allah, to believe in the name itself, to believe in the characteristic, and if it's muta'addiyan, also the effect that it has on the creation. We're going to stop here, and if there's a question, because some of this is a little bit technical, except for those of you who have already studied it before. So if there's a question, inshallah, we'll take one or two questions and hopefully clarify something that I left unclear in rushing. Naam.
So, Sheikh, the question that I have is, if you're invoking Allah with these names...
If you're invoking Allah with these names, naam.
Is it better to make it definite or indefinite? Like to say, Ya, Fatalan, Ya Razzaq or Ya Ar-Razzaq?
Naam. It is only proper to say Ya Razzaq, not Ya Ar-Razzaq. Naam, the name of Allah is Ar-Razak, Al-Alim, Al-Hakim. But when you call on Allah, you don't say Ya Al-Alim, Ya Al-Hakim. You say Ya Alim, Ya Hay, Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghithu. That's how the Prophet ﷺ said it. Ya Hay, Ya Qayyum. He didn't say Ya Al-Hay, Ya Al-Qayyum. And even in Arabic language, yani the proper name that has Alif Lam affixed to it, after Ya Nida, loses the Alif Lam. That's according to Arabic language. But we're saying because the Prophet ﷺ said like that. And then also according to Arabic language. Now, Muhammad, I'm going to come back to you, Mustafa. Try to raise your voice a little because I, you know, I can't hear well. Yeah, and whatever you say, you'll be called to account for. Allah will question you. If you make tawbah, will you be questioned? If you make tawbah, sincere tawbah, tawbah nasuha, then inshallah you will not be questioned. Yani because tawbah removes whatever came before it. Tawbah removes whatever came before it. And if a person makes tawbah by stopping doing what they're doing, stopping it, and then making firm resolve not to go back to it again, and feeling remorse for what they have done, then inshallah, it will remove yani what they have done. Yani Allah accepts sincere tawbah and it will remove. A person will not be punished for that which they repented from. Naam. Mustafa, and then we'll stop here, inshallah.
Could you emphasize on al-hayat al-kamila?
Al-hayat al-kamila? Yani meaning that there's hayat, yani, غير كاملة, right? Yani there's hayat that is defective. There's hayat that's defective. They are living beings that, human being, for example. And we say, of course, of the example of Allah and the rest of Allah is yani perfect. But even the human being or animal, that, for example, the human being that only has one leg or one hand or one eye or no sight or no ability to hear or no ability to speak, they are living, but their hayat is not hayat kamila. It's imperfect, it's defective. Okay? It's defective. That's what we mean by it. We don't mean that the human being is perfect, but we mean that the human being, the life of the human being, includes certain things. If the human being doesn't have those things, then his life is not yani perfect in reference to the human being. The animal that has four legs, but one leg is missing, born like that or otherwise, then we don't say that for the animal life, that the life is not perfect. It's defective because he doesn't have all four legs, or he doesn't have the ability to hear or to see or whatever. Okay? So what do we mean by hayat al-kamila? That Allah, of course, Allah's life is not like the life of the human beings, right? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. So Allah, He is hearing and He is seeing, but His hearing and sight is not like the human beings. But in order for even the created beings, everyone according to its type, human, animal, or otherwise, then there are certain things that the life of that creature is supposed to have. If it doesn't have all those things, then it's defective. It's defective. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, there's no defect in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't have any shortcomings. Okay? He doesn't have any defects. Allah is perfect. So al-hayat al-kamila for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates that He sees. We can't ascribe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He sleeps, that He forgets, that He doesn't know. We can't ascribe that to Allah. Maybe for the human being. Yani the person who forgets a lot, you say something wrong with him. You forget a lot. Person who doesn't have knowledge, you say something wrong. This person is ignorant. Person who doesn't whatever. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of this can be ascribed to Allah of imperfection. But only we can ascribe to Allah perfection. Details that we'll talk about, inshallah. But I mean, I hope you get some idea what we mean by hayat al-kamila. Meaning that that life, whatever of type it is, it should have everything that that particular creature Allah normally created it with, in order for its life to be complete. But if it doesn't have those things, it's incomplete. It's imperfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is necessitated. By iltizaman, is necessitated that if we affirm for Allah al-hayat, and His hayat is kamila, then it must have these certain things the Shaykh said. He must have knowledge, must have hearing, sight, speech, ability, and other than that. And other than that, whatever is necessitated by perfect life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, we'll stop here, inshallah. It's time for the Iqamah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.